Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. I hope Santa brings you cookies as good as the cookies that I have right now. Luke Jones joins us now. We're going to be taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road next week. I have a handful of Oh Snap gingerbreads. Still haven't had any gingerbread. I was in the Wise. They had gingerbread yesterday, and I'm like, I want to get some. My wife made some last year. Unwrap the cash. We also have the peppermint payouts. We'll have these on Wednesday at Fadley's right after Christmas. Get together post-Christmas. Crab cake, crab and mac, mac and cheese. I'm going to have some shrimp salad. I'm doing it all. It's Fadley's on Wednesday. Luke is, you know, he's going to be bored because we're going to beat San Francisco. You know, nothing's going to matter in 2 weeks, and they're going to have 3 weeks off here before they play. Luke Jones joins us now. Christmas night, dude, 49ers, game of the century, game of the year, game of the day, game of the weekend, maybe a Super Bowl preview. Boy, the schedule makers in this league, they know stuff, don't they? It's crazy how this works out, isn't it?
Well, it's all rigged, right? It's all scripted. It's like WWE pro wrestling. Ravens, 49ers, week 16, Super Bowl, we're up to what, 58, I think is what we're up to. A preview. Yeah, why not?
What's that in Roman numerals, you know?
That's what? L-V-I-I-I, I think.
Man, you went to a different school. Pennsylvania, they taught you better up there. That's all I can say, you know? They teach me that in Dundalk.
At some point in time, especially the way the NFL is, we're going to drop those.
Dude,
right?
I'm still trying to figure out Pig Latin. I can't figure out Roman numerals, you know? But Roman Reigns, maybe. But I did have a wrestling conversation with Derek Frazier this week, and Roman Reigns' name came up about his leukemia battle and charity. But I will charitably allow you to take the floor and tell me how the Ravens are an underdog here. And I guess you and I are going to make a case in the next 20 minutes about how the Ravens can go out there and win and shock the world. I don't know that it'll shock anybody if they go out there and run somersaults around the 49ers the way they did. And you always bring up 19 and the comparisons, because we're at that point where it's okay to compare them to 19 right now because they're on that same sort of trajectory. Maybe not on the way of getting their ass kicked in the first game and getting stonewalled.
Hope not.
but they're on that pathway. And this wasn't the time of the year. It's Christmas. I mean, it was way earlier than that I went out to L.A. and they just beat the salt out of the Rams. I don't think they're capable of doing that to the 49ers, or the 49ers are capable of rolling over. But it is going to be interesting to see what both of these teams are capable of against each other. I think everybody in the NFL is looking forward to this game on Christmas night.
Yeah, and keep in mind, these teams played in Baltimore. It was the Sunday after Thanksgiving, which was the week after that Rams game out in Los Angeles. And at that point in time, I went back and looked at the quotes. You know, we're always prisoners of the moment to some degree, right? But you go back to that 2019 game.
That was low-scoring game, right?
It was.
And I remember Jacoby Jones eating chicken. Or turkeys. That's all I remember. Turkey Bowl.
Okay, well, that wasn't that game, but yeah.
Was it? I'm talking about 2019. The turkey thing on
2019. I'm talking about 2019.
I got wrong year then. Okay.
Yeah. You're thinking back to what? Ravens Steelers and on Thanksgiving.
That was
night.
Thanksgiving.
This was Thanksgiving weekend. This wasn't the 2011 game. I'm talking about 2019. It was Lamar.
I've been doing this 30 years. I mean, so
no,
much.
It's fine.
I forgot. You know.
No, it's fine. I'm clearing it up for you. But this is my point, right? I mean, we're prisoners of the moment. You know, every game is the biggest game in team history or the season, whatever. But this is the biggest regular season game from a hype expectation standpoint, not counting division games, not talking about games with the Bengals or games with the Steelers. But 4 years ago, 49ers came into Baltimore. It was the Sunday after Thanksgiving. I think they had one loss at that point in time. They were the best team in the NFC. The Ravens at that point had emerged as the clear-cut best team in the AFC because they had beaten the Patriots a few weeks before that and had really gotten on that roll, and they played a really good football. You know, it was a good football game. It was rainy. It wasn't a whole lot of offense, but I think at that point in time, and I even looked at the quote, Earl Thomas, you know, which feels like 15 years ago at this point in time, he was asked in the locker room that week if this was a Super Bowl preview. And his comment was not at all to make an assumption about the Ravens. He was assuming they'd be there, but he said, "You think the 49ers are going to be in the Super Bowl?" Which probably was a little bit of a hangover of the Seahawks 49ers rivalry that he was a part of for years. Point is, Ravens won that game. From that point on, they were the best team in the NFL for the remainder of the regular season. Boat race teams, looked like the best team. Everyone assumed they were going to be playing in the Super Bowl. And then we saw what happened in the divisional round, and the 49ers were the team that still got to the Super Bowl, albeit losing to the Chiefs. So point is, with me bringing all that up, as exciting as this game is, as much as we're going to look at this game as a litmus test for both teams, this is much more falls into the category of, for the Ravens anyway, opportunity rather than this great sense of urgency that they must win this game or that it's this referendum on what they're going to do in January. Because as Lamar Jackson pointed out, and I think he astutely pointed out, for all the hype, for all the excitement, it's December. The Super Bowl is played in early February. And whether the Ravens win, whether the 49ers win, it's not going to guarantee anything for the winner or the loser in terms of how this plays out. But I do think it is a great opportunity for the Ravens on the heels of winning the Jacksonville game, which was much more important in terms of conference standings, number one seed, making sure you're on track, knowing that they have a big game against Miami to follow this one. But this is a great chance for them to go up against the team that is absolutely perceived to be the very best in the NFL because of how they've played the last month. And I don't think that should be perceived as disrespect to the Ravens, that the Ravens are a 4.5 or 5.5 point underdog going out to Santa Clara, going out to the West Coast on Christmas night, playing a team that has been, frankly, more dominant than anyone in the NFL since they got healthy, since their three-game losing streak. I don't find that to be this big slight, but if you are the Ravens, you're going to motivate yourselves any way you can. They have a great chance to go out there and do it. If we're talking on the morning of December 26th about the Ravens having won, I don't think anyone should be surprised by that. We've watched this football team all year long. They're really, really good. But at the same time, if they lose, I don't think that should be deemed a referendum that, oh, well, they're not going to be able to win the Super Bowl because, well, we've also seen eventual Super Bowl opponents meet earlier in the season. Like, I think back to the Patriots-Giants back in 2007. Patriots won in New York or in New Jersey late that season, and we saw what happened in the Super Bowl. So we're going to try to make too much of this one way or the other. I'm just looking forward to what I think is going to be a heck of a football game. I think the matchups in this game are just so enticing on both sides of the ball in terms of how they match up. And both these teams can do things that, frankly, other teams can't do. So I think it's just going to be fascinating to see how that plays out. But that said, still a long way to go, and there's still work to be done for both of these teams as it pertains to securing the number one seed in their respective conferences. So, you know, I think from that point, lace it up, kick it off on Christmas night as everyone's full from Christmas dinner and tired from being up early opening presents and all that. And should be a heck of a football game, Nestor.
I sleep in. I let Santa deliver things. I get my coffee, my eggnog. I'll be okay. We got plenty of football this weekend, too, and lots of other games, division games. Flacco's playing early on Sunday. I mean, we got things to watch and other matchups. But in regard to this game, and it would be a better game with Mark Andrews. It would be a better game with Keaton Mitchell and J.K. Dobbins. Sure. It would be a better game with a healthy Ronnie Stanley, and I'll continue to point that out. And the morning after they get eliminated, if they get eliminated, or if there's a parade, but the morning after they get eliminated, I would look at the offense and say something was missing in the offense, right, against good teams. And taking Mark Andrews out of this, now taking Keaton Mitchell out of this, they don't really have a running situation right now, right? They don't even, like, Justice Hill, they don't really want to run him. If they did, they had been running him the whole time. He had the job beginning of the year, right? It was his to have if he wanted it, if he was that guy. Gus has been, a question mark, and it won't be if they're ahead and they give him the ball and they can pound the ball, if they can play the game that way. And, I mean, the statistics will still great running attack, all of that stuff. I don't know that they can run the ball when they want to. And you and I got a little back and forth earlier in the week and saying, when it's fourth and one, they're punting, let alone just running the ball and ramming it through, because they don't really have that right now. And I don't know how you establish that in week 15, unless Melvin Gordon comes out of the, you know, school of the U and finds his college legs again. And look, Bryant McKinney did that for 6 weeks. Joe Flacco might do that for 6 weeks and be really good for a little while, because that is part of Kyle Van Noy and Clowney and Zeitler and Moses. All of those guys had played 15 weeks. And now all of a sudden, you're getting the 15-week version of 30-year-old guys. I want to see something fresh. And maybe it's Isaiah Likely. Maybe Likely just becomes a dude in the way that, you know, you can't count on. I mean, the way Mark Andrews became a dude when they really expected Hunter Hurst. Hayden Hurst, sorry. Hunter, that's wrestling. I'm Triple H-ing here. Sorry. Hayden Hurst. You know, there's a possibility of that. I believe in the wide receivers. You know, I'm a Bateman guy. I'm a Zay Flowers guy in space. I mean, Beckham, if he's healthy, that they have weapons in the passing game to make big plays, to affect things in a close game. They have a kicker. They have all of that. They might have really crappy weather here, which could affect their kicking game in January. But for me, the next two games, because they might not even play against Pittsburgh. If they establish this, and the next meaningful game will be a playoff game, but seeing them operate this offense and the running game to figure out what they're going to be next month, because what they're going to be next month is not what they were 2 months ago, because they don't have the same weapons, they don't have the same players. And I think the way Lamar has grown into this, and you and I had a Lamar love-a-thon earlier this week about him patting the ball in the pocket, looking Roethlisberger-y, and trying to wait for a wide receiver, buy himself time instead of taking off. That will serve him well, I think, you know, for finding a big play, that miracle play we're going to look for when they're down 4 points in the third quarter and they need to make a big play. And Zay Flowers can run away from somebody. That's going to happen because of the way Lamar is playing the quarterback position right now. But against a team like San Francisco, they're going to get tested about skill position players. And I have a feeling Melvin Gordon and Justice Hill are not going to be the stars of the game on Sunday night. You know what I mean? Like, I have a feeling like this is going to be about passing and about Lamar razzle dazzle. This is not going to be about Melvin Gordon getting 8 yards on first down, which is different than 2019.
Yeah, I think everything you just laid out, look, they have a really good offense, but, and I'd say the same thing, they lead the league in rushing yards per game, Nestor. I mean, they're clearly doing things well. They're doing things right. But everything you just laid out, I don't disagree with, in the sense that what truly is their identity as an offense? And that's where you kind of scratch your head, because you do look at it week to week. I mean, like, let's just look at the recent games. Jacksonville on Sunday night. Prior to the Jacksonville game, we were seeing Zay Flowers have these big moments. We were seeing Odell Beckham have some big games. Their wide receivers were a non-factor, except for Bateman on a couple plaster situations where Lamar's buying time and he was able to get open against plaster coverage that wasn't very good on a couple occasions. Isaiah Likely, as you mentioned, to me, that's kind of been the found money, so to speak, in the sense of losing Mark Andrews. We've seen Isaiah Likely, and in fairness to him, he did this last year. He's really stepped up to become a very consistent part of what they're doing. And ultimately, you know, we know Lamar Jackson, not just Mark Andrews, he loves throwing to tight ends. And we've seen that for years now. And that's kind of, if things are breaking down elsewhere, that's kind of one of the areas where he'll revert. You know, the revert, I don't even want to say it's regression for Lamar, but his bread and butter, what he feels most comfortable doing, is throwing the tight ends and using his legs in the biggest moments. And it feels like that's still going to be such a big part of what they do. And especially now with no Keaton Mitchell, it feels like, and I agree with you, as much as, yeah, Justice Hill will have some more carries, and we'll see what Melvin Gordon can do. And maybe Gus Edwards gets a couple more carries than he was getting in recent weeks with Keaton Mitchell. But it still feels like a lot of that's going to just fall back on Lamar. And look,
there are drawbacks to that. Right?
Sure. But at the same time, even if Keaton Mitchell was healthy, even if Mark Andrews were healthy, there's still something to be said of, once you get into late December, and certainly when you get into January, number eight running the ball is still one of the very best things you can do on any given play, whether it's a scramble or whether it's a design run. So that was probably always going to be a bigger part of what they do down the stretch.
You know, here's what their game plan was. It's put Lamar in the phone booth. That really is their game plan.
I mean, that's what they did in Jacksonville on Sunday night. I mean,
doesn't happen and they get their ass kicked on 4th-and-1 like they did in 19, we're going to all say, well, We wish we had Mark Andrews. We wish we had a running game. We wish we had a stay. Well, we got the best running. Well, we didn't have a running game when we needed it, and they need it now. And certainly they're going to need it on Sunday night. And I don't think they have it. I don't think they're going to beat. They're a 5.5-point dog, right? Like, it was 4.5. The public has gone against them, which is kind of crazy, which is really disrespectful, which is plays into Harbaugh, Lamar, the franchise, all of that is they're not getting a lot of respect being a 5.5-point underdog. But I think when we look at it, when I look at it, I'm like, where is their consistent running game? Can they go out? Can they control the clock? I think, dare I say, they can get lucky and make big plays or earn a big play, whatever that would be. Luck, whatever, ball goes up in the air. It takes some luck when you're throwing the football around to make it work. But for me, the defense, and we'll talk about the other side, Brock Purdy, kind of smallish quarterback, getting the ball out quick. If their defense can make something happen, if there can be a strip sack, take the ball away, fumble, interceptions, to me, that's how they upset the apple cart with the 5.5 points on Sunday night. They win this game with defense, with 10 points on defense.
I mean, I don't know if they necessarily need a defensive touchdown, but yeah, I think, you know, a strip sack, a turnover that puts the offense on the short field. Look,
when I say 10 points off turnovers, I mean like,
right, I got you.
Taking the ball
you.
Away twice and scoring twice because of it. That's what I meant.
I want to be very clear about this, though. I mean, this is a good 49ers defense. I'll say this. I don't think this 49ers defense is as good as the Ravens defense, which I think is the best in the league. And I'll continue to hear people say Cleveland. Cleveland has a good defense. I don't think it's special. I think Myles Garrett is special. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Do I think that they have the same players at every level of the defense that the Ravens do? No, I don't. So,
and the Ravens have the depth and health right now. You would feel different about the Ravens if Matabike wasn't out there, or Smith wasn't out there, or Queen wasn't out there. We felt differently when Marlon Humphrey's not out there, and it looked different. But they're healthy on defense, right? That's why they're great. The offense could be great, but they don't have three players.
I still think this offense, I still think it's really good, though. I mean, we can't, I know we don't want to, I know you're not a big statistics guy, but we can't just completely ignore the statistics. It's a really good offense. The problem is, and it's also, this is a blessing and a curse for them right now, because I think it helps them in games. I think it hurts them from a perception standpoint, which they would tell you, they don't care what you or me or Joe down the street thinks about this team's offense, but they do win in different ways, and something that looks like it's going to be a major strength, other than Lamar in a phone booth becoming Superman, to your point. And look, that's still – I'll still take that compared to what most teams are going to do offensively on a week-by-week basis. I absolutely will, and I'll feel great about it as long as he's healthy, which, hey, in this year of quarterbacks getting hurt left and right, I mean – sometimes it's just, hey, you're winning the war of attrition in that way.
This team's had a lead at the 2-minute warning 14 weeks in a row. Who am I going to argue with, right?
Inside 2 minutes, right. Yeah, I mean, a lead inside 2 minutes in every game of the year. I mean, it's crazy in that way. But they win in different ways. Now, defensively, they've shown up all season other than what? You could say, what, the last couple drives in the Pittsburgh game. You know, Indianapolis, they gave up too much on the ground, but it's not as though they got gashed by the Colts back in week three. The times that this defense was not very good to flat out bad, second half of the Cleveland game in Baltimore, where Deshaun Watson kind of looked like an old school Steve McNair, and the Rams game for the most part, right? I mean, other than that, the defense has shown up every single week. The offense, it's just been a little more fleeting or a little, you know, much more inconsistent in terms of some weeks it has been the running game. Other weeks it's been the passing game. I think back to week two when Lamar operated the quick game so effectively against the Bengals with a banged up offensive line protecting him. So they've done different things, but again, this goes back to the identity question. What has shown up for them week in and week out on the offensive side of the football? Well, other than Lamar doing the things that Lamar does, which are really, really special, it has been a little more fleeting. I mean, Keaton Mitchell started the year on IR. You know, as we're talking about him as this big loss. And look, from a home run potential and upside potential, yeah, that is a big loss. But he wasn't even playing until midway through the season. So it really just speaks to how this offense has been such a moving target. But that said, they still have lots of elements that you like. They still have put up points more often than not. So how are they going to do it against the 49ers? The big question is going to be, okay, where is Ronnie Stanley physically now? He was on the field early in the practice week, despite finishing Sunday night, this past Sunday night's game in concussion protocol. So that was a good sign. I have questions about Morgan Moses. You know, he's been missing from the practice field, and he only played about half the snaps on Sunday night. So where are they at both tackle spots? And that's not a good question to have when you're talking about a 49ers front that could have guys like Hargrave and Armstead back who have been banged up, and they already have great edge players when you're talking about Bosa and Chase Young, who they added at the trade deadline. I mean, it's a formidable front. It's a formidable front seven. I mean, it's a really good defense. Like I said, not at the Ravens level of great, but it's really good. So yeah, I mean, the Ravens are going to have to protect. Lamar is probably going to have to make some extraordinary plays like he did against Jacksonville in terms of creating time and escaping and looking downfield, and yes, taking off and scrambling and doing those things as well. But you're hoping Zay Flowers, who's dealing with a little bit of foot soreness this week, you're hoping he's good to go Monday night. You know, I haven't heard anything that suggests he won't be. John Harbaugh said he's not concerned. Beckham's missed some practice time this week. That's kind of been a regular thing for him. So you hope it's a case of he's ready to go Monday night. But yeah, they're going to have to figure this out, because again, Keaton Mitchell was another one of those upside elements, that home run potential that you're just not getting from the other guys. And that's not to say they won't be able to run the football down the stretch and in the playoffs, but it does become a taller order against this defense, and knowing what kind of offensive prowess, which we'll get to here in a moment, that the 49ers have, that, you know, you might get in a situation where those times against Jacksonville, or in recent weeks where they've settled for some field goals and they've said, okay, a Justin Tucker three is okay, that might not be good enough against the 49ers. They might score touchdowns, and you might get in this, not that I think it'll necessarily be a shootout, but you certainly need to maximize your possessions, right? You can't have these. It's great to say you're going to have a 6 or 7 minute drive and to keep the 49ers offense off the field, but you better finish that with seven, because that's where you fall into kind of being behind on the scoreboard, and then you get behind and you're, you know, you're chasing points the rest of the way.
Jacksonville came down four times and got nothing. They got Bupkis in the first half. Like,
sure.
Literally four really quality drives at all. It could have been 28 to nothing. You know what I mean? Like, literally, they could have scored four times. They didn't. They got stopped. Two long field goals, nothing. Ball off the leg, nothing. Two, you know, throwing the pass with no timeouts, yeah. Nothing. So, and they dominated the first half of the game, and they had nothing. The Ravens can't do that on Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville, I wouldn't say they dominated, but they played really well. That game should have been 10-9 at the very least, you would say. I mean, that would kind of be the within the realistic realms where they'd still be disappointed, 10-9, and it was 10-0. And hey, credit the Ravens. They made some plays, and Jacksonville, they are where they are at this point. They've fallen out of that serious contender conversation. They might not even make the playoffs the way things are going for them now. But with the 49ers, it's just, you have to be efficient. You have to be excellent on third down. And really, the key to being excellent on third down is avoiding third down altogether. That means you need to be really good on first down. And I think if there's something about this offense, beyond just talking about what we were talking about a few minutes ago, where you're talking about, okay, what exactly is their identity? They need to be better on first down. They need to put themselves in second and short. That's, if you can put yourself in second and short, that's when you can get Gus Edwards involved in the running game. That's when you can get Justice Hill and Melvin Gordon involved, because then you're in a position where they don't need 6 yards. You know, Gus Edwards, if you need 2 yards, I feel really good about Gus Edwards. But if it's a case where it's second and seven, you know, that's not really a Gus Edwards play then. So, you know, that's not the case for most running backs, other than maybe Keaton Mitchell or Lamar, if we're going to put him in that category, putting the ball in his hands and saying, go run. So, you know, they're going to have to adapt. Certainly some of the health questions that they have. Not even talking about Andrews and Mitchell, who are certainly, you know, even if Andrews comes back in January, he's not playing on Monday night, but they've got some guys that are banged up at wide receiver, offensive line. We've talked about at length, you know, that's a question. And that's something that, you know, not just forget about just talking about this game on Monday night, but for the rest of the season, those are the kind of questions that you have, that not that they can't have success in the playoffs, but if you're talking about going all the way, you know, that's where you look at that and say, ooh, are those tackles going to hold up? You know, this rotation idea sounds great during the bye week, and you apply it and it works out against the Rams. You know, it works out against the Jaguars, but Is that going to work out against San Francisco? Is that going to work out against Miami or Cleveland in the postseason, or Kansas City, who has a good front, or Buffalo if they make it? So, you know, these are questions. And like I said, I don't think we should make Monday night a referendum, but it's going to be a heck of a test to kind of see where they are on that front. Because if you go out there and you beat the 49ers, then, hey, you're ready for January, right? You beat Miami then on New Year's Eve, and you can rest some guys on in the finale then at that point, and you're ready to go. And then it's just a matter of, hey, don't do what you did in 2019. Go out and win. It's still football at the end of the day. Don't make the playoffs out to be so different from the regular season. It's different, but it's not that different. So this is a great opportunity. That's why I keep using the word opportunity. This team doesn't need to win Monday night. I don't think anything could happen Monday night other than another major injury to names that we won't even mention, because I don't want anyone to think we're putting the jinx on anyone. But nothing could happen in Monday night's game other than that that would drastically change, you know, their trajectory. They still need to beat the Dolphins either way in week 17. And then we'll see if they must beat the Steelers or if they have things wrapped up and, you know, then they can rest guys. Great. But, you know, this game, like I said, I just keep using the word opportunity. I think it's such an opportunity for them to really see where they are, because this is a heck of a football team that they're playing on Monday night. And like I said, yeah, I think the 49ers have been playing the best football. And look, I think the Ravens have been playing the second best football over that stretch of time. And I don't think the gap is that big. Let's be clear. I'm not saying, you know, the Ravens are an underdog. They should be an underdog going out and playing on the road on Christmas night. But, you know, they're not a 10-point underdog. You know, I don't think anyone thinks the Ravens can't win. I you know, it's the NFL. So go out there, get as healthy as you can between now and Monday night, and see what happens. And hopefully, I'll say this much, and we haven't mentioned him too much, but Todd Monken needs to have a great game on Monday night. I really think that, especially given where they are with the tackles, given the fact they're a little banged up at wide receiver. You don't have Keaton Mitchell, so you have a more limited skill set and upside out of your running backs. Todd Monken needs to call his best game of the year. If he does, I think the Ravens have a heck of a chance to win this game on Monday night. If he doesn't, and they're banged up and they're kind of, it looks choppy, and their passing game kind of looks like it did in their last two primetime games in LA against the Chargers and against Jacksonville last Sunday, then, well, they probably will lose. But that said, I think this team is too good on both sides of the ball to be in a position where, you know, they're blown out or anything like that. I think this is going to be a really close, really competitive football game, no matter how it plays out.
Luke Jones is here. You can find him at Baltimore Luke. You can find me at Fadley's on Wednesday. You can find Santa coming down your chimney on Monday. Please take care of all of our sponsors. All of them have crab cakes to go for last minute. If the dog eats the ham or the turkey, I'll get you some crab cakes from one of our places. And we're going to be doing the biggest promotion we've ever done, Radio Row Week in February. I'm putting that together through the holidays, so I'm excited about talking about that. Last thing for you, and we can keep this relatively short, because you're the one brought Monken up. Man, I don't think much about Kyle Shanahan, right? Like, he almost became the Ravens offensive coordinator at one point. He was interviewed for Harbaugh with that job. He was out in Cleveland, took the Cleveland job when Johnny Manziel was out there, and poor Pettin got thrown out, and he was Pettin's offensive coordinator. And apparently they didn't get along, but a lot of it had to do with the front office. He went out to San Francisco, Super Bowl, lost the championship game, lost quarterbacks, won with Jimmy Garoppolo. Nobody wanted him. Now he's winning with a Mr. Irrelevant, like a legitimate last, a guy that David Modell used to pick when they had the last pick of the last pick, right? And they're winning with him. I mean, Shanahan's a little bit of a genius. I didn't know much about him going to college in Texas and catching balls from Major Applewhite and playing with Quentin Jammer, you know, like all the background of him. He just sort of appeared in the aughts as Mike Shanahan's kid, and then he wound up in Washington, you know, working for Dingbat down there when his father was working there. But he was always sort of like thought to be a genius in some way. He got the job. He's there. He's got a 4-year extension. They're really good. They're the best team in football with a 7th-round draft pick as a quarterback. Like, if Mike Tomlin could pull that off, I mean, Belichick pulled it off for 20. Belichick's going to the effing Hall of Fame with a 6-round quarterback, right? I find this a fascinating. It's one thing to say, we're going to take the young African-American quarterback that nobody else wants, that plays a style of game that nobody else wants, that nobody understands, like all of that. It's a different thing to take a seventh. That people would say, well, he won two Heismans. He's pretty good. You know, but to take a seventh round quarterback and be playing this way and to have our defense and every defense say, we're going to get beat by that guy. It's one thing to get beat by Matt Stafford or Trevor Lawrence. This is a guy nobody thought about, nobody wanted, and thought the franchise was left for dead like 14 months ago when you have – like our franchise has been left for dead twice with Tyler Huntley. Nice fellow and all that. Almost beat Cincinnati, as we pointed out last year. But I thought Purdy was that guy. I thought, all right, it'll be cute for a week or three or a month or 2 months. I didn't think we'd be in season two of number one seed of Brock Purdy. And I don't think anybody in football believed that.
And let's be clear, he's playing great football too. I mean, this isn't like they have this historic defense and historic running game and he's handing the ball off, right? I mean, this isn't, he's not Trent Dilfer in this offense. He makes plays. Now, does it help that he has Christian McCaffrey? Of course. Does it help that he has Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel and George Kittle to throw to? Of course. There's no doubt about that. He has a great offensive line. But Brock Purdy still, he's got 29 touchdowns. He's got 7 interceptions. He's playing football at a very high level. He's the MVP favorite right now. Does anyone actually think he's the best quarterback in football? No, but he's still having a phenomenal season, and he still deserves credit for that. But just the operation in its entirety is just so tough. And I think what's going to be so what's so challenging, but if you're a Ravens fan where you do take some optimism, is you look at how they like to play. You look at their personnel. They – like the Ravens, although not as much because Patrick Ricard's really become much more of a inline tight end in this offense. He's not really a fullback anymore. He lines up as a fullback still, and you still think of him that way, but they use Kyle Juszczyk, a former Raven, longtime fullback now, Pro Bowl fullback for the 49ers. He's on the field. George Kittle's on the field. So they like to use big personnel. But the problem with that is how teams match up with that big personnel is to do what? Play base defense. Problem is, base defense, you don't have enough athletes on the field to hang with all of their receivers, their tight ends. So it creates this matchup problem. That's why I'm going to come back to a guy that I've talked about a heck of a lot the last couple of weeks. And we talked about him a lot last week because he was banged up, even though he ended up playing every single snap. Kyle Hamilton is the kind of guy that can be the X factor in not stopping the 49ers offense, because I don't think you can stop them, but slowing them down. Kyle Hamilton is that player. Why? Because I've talked about it. Defenses, because of how heavy the 49ers personnel is, they tend to play more base defense and have more linebackers on the field. Well, that doesn't work out then when Brock Purdy uses play action and they use motion and they start throwing the ball. So Kyle Hamilton is that guy that we've said, you play him at nickel, but he can basically gives you another linebacker there. So you have a nickel look in terms of having five defensive backs on the field, but he gives you that physicality, that size that he can play like a linebacker. So he's going to be huge for them, whether it's certainly talking about Kittle, whether it's talking about McCaffrey out of the backfield, you know, in coverage, whether it's talking about someone like Debo Samuel. I think you're going to see him doing a little bit of everything on Monday night. That's why I it was good to see that Marcus Williams was on the practice field early in the week, you know, hoping that he can play, you know, despite having the groin issue last week, because they need Hamilton to be as versatile, as multiple as he possibly can in terms of moving around, because Kyle Shanahan is that great. Going back to your original question, he is that great at attacking every level of the defense. And that's why it's so wild. Even though you know all these names, you know, the 49ers skill players are such household names, yet week by week by week, you see those guys wide open, not just open, wide open against opposing defenses because they scheme so well. So that's where you look at someone like Kyle Hamilton, who is rapidly being recognized as a one-of-one kind of guy because of the size and the physicality, the athleticism and coverage, all the different things he does. He is going to be the biggest X factor in trying to contain and slow down that 49ers offense. And, you know, if he's that guy that's that X factor, that's where I still like the Ravens' chances to be able to slow them down a little bit more than other defenses can. So, again, I'll go back to, and I'll leave you with what we said at the beginning of this conversation. This is such a great matchup This would be such a great Super Bowl if these two teams take care of business, and they both have a long road to do that. But I just think they match up so well. I think there's so many good stories on both sides of the ball and so many great players. And hey, let the best team win on Monday night. But as I said, a game played on Christmas night is not determining the Super Bowl. As Lamar Jackson said, that game's played in February, but would not shock me if it ends up being a preview, because you're talking about two great football teams going at it on Christmas night.
I'm like Pedro Morales. I'm ready for any kind of action, Luke Jones. It's holiday weekend. Santa's coming down the chimney. We got eggnog. We got good cheer. Family in, whether you like it or not. Cousin Eddie on the TV and Ralphie, all that stuff going on. Have a beautiful holiday out there, everyone. Watch a lot of football. Luke and I are going to come back on Tuesday and wrap it up. If you're listening, you're going to hear a lot of Crab Cake Tour greatest hits, but also done a lot of work here this week. We had an incredible conversation with Tom Kelso. Luke and I have not even talked about the Orioles Camden Yards thing, Tom Kelso and I beat it up for 2 hours. Lots of stuff out at Baltimore Positive for you to enjoy. We'll be at Fadley's on Wednesday morning with Maryland Lottery scratch-offs, as well as our Window Nation hat, fun hat that I got to wear the other day, 86690Nation, and Jiffy Lube Multicare. I got to get my oil changed before Christmas. I got to get out and do that. Luke, take care of your family. Enjoy your niece, and put good pictures up. Drink some eggnog, all right?
Sounds good. Merry Christmas.
All right. Merry Christmas, Ravens and 49ers on Christmas night from Santa Clara. Weather will be in the upper 50s. It'll be a little chill in the air in the Bay Area. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive, and Merry Christmas.